Patty Eli.
That little four-letter word was for my mother. It was her little favorite thing as she got older. Every time she tried to do something and couldn't, she'd say, yeah. So anyway, I guess that'll happen to me when I'm 90. I don't know.
Some of it's happened too soon.
Yeah. Yeah, I never say that word. Except anyway, thank you for allowing me to share God's word. It's such a privilege. And what I'm going to talk about today is, so I've given you all the verses. So why should I see myself the way God sees me? And then the second half of the teaching is what happens when I see myself the way God sees me. So in Psalm 39, if anybody's got a Bible, what I wanted to do is look up who wrote that. Or, you know, I know it's...
Psalm 139?
Yeah, Psalm 139. I was going to do that last night. I thought of it when I went to bed, and then I didn't do it.
Well, Bob Eli is the oldest. We should ask
Bob. 139.
So we know God's the author of the Bible.
It says a Psalm of David.
Okay, it is. Okay, it's a Psalm of David. So this is a verse that Jim had taught a couple, I guess, 2 weeks ago or whenever it was, and I thought it was so beautiful that I added it into my teaching, even though it wasn't going to be in there. And here it is. So this is in the NLT, the New Living Translation. Psalm 139, 16 through 18. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Now, just think of this stuff. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. That's you too. Yeah. They cannot be numbered. I cannot even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand, and when I wake up, you're still with me. It's so beautiful. God loves us so much. So maybe we should love ourselves. Maybe we should think of ourselves the way God sees us. You know, when you pray and when I pray, when we talk to God, it's really important to remember who we are. You know, remember the renewed mind from the worm to the butterfly? You know, we're not the worm anymore. We're the butterfly. And do you look at yourself like a worm or the butterfly? You know, we are the butterfly. John 3:16, it's not there. Everybody probably knows it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, not self, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So that's how much God loves us. It's just unbelievable. Like that song, How Great Thou Art. Jesus bled and died to take away our sins so that we could be God's children. We're so important to the body of Christ. Well, you know, next weekend's going to be a great example of that. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. And this is in the J.B. Phillips. And it's such a wonderful translation. So, you know, the verse in King James, how we have everything we need in God's word, right? Well, listen to this one. He has, by his own action, given us everything that is necessary for living a truly good life and allowing us to know the one who has called us to him through his own glorious goodness. God's glorious goodness has called us to know him. Wow. It is through his generosity that God's greatest and most precious promises have become available to us men. To us, not just the men, to us, making it possible for you and me to escape the inevitable disintegration that lust produces in the world. Yuck. Yep. We have escaped from that and to share in God's essential nature. We have God's nature because of who we are. We're not the worm anymore. We are the butterfly. And when you think about we still live in the world, so how can we be separated from it? That's that renewed mind. We can have the peace that passes understanding. How can we have that? Because we trust in who we are and who God is to us. It's really amazing and transforming in your life when you realize who you really are. Mm-hmm. Wow. So we've been given God's divine nature with the new birth, that gift of Holy Spirit, that Christ in you. So in essence, we are Christ on the earth today. Each one of us. You know, and the great mystery, had the devil known, he wouldn't have killed Jesus Christ, because he doesn't want a million of us. He had that one guy to take care of, who of course was perfect and walked with tremendous power, but we have that same power within. So when we pray, when we talk to God, we need to keep that vision of who we are, because we are Christ in the world. We're Christ in the world today. In Mark chapter 11, verse 24, this is in the King James, says, "Therefore I say unto you, that whatsoever ye desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." Why? Because God loves us, and because we're his sons, and we can trust in God because we know who he is and who he made us to be. Amazing. So whatever we ask according to God's word, if we believe, we're going to receive it. And we believe it, just like we've already got it. That's how we think. So look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. It's real similar. It says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him." In who? In God. "That if we ask anything according to his will," which is God's word is God's will, right? "If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." Well, we know he always hears us, even when we're complaining. You know, which sometimes happens. You know, like that little four-letter word? Yeah. Yeah. So that happens sometimes. But he always hears us. In verse 15, "And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him." The prayers that we take from our heart to God's heart, he hears them and he answers them. And you know what? They may not be the answer we wanted. They might be the answer above and beyond anything we asked or thought. Has that ever happened to you? Yes. Mm-hmm. You ask for this and then you get that? One time, this is a short little story. I was, I think, 17. And I had volunteered to go on this Summer Minuteman program. And I got sent with two other believers my age. And we got sent to this little town called Hillsboro, Ohio. So there was a chiropractor that lived there that wanted to run fellowship, and he wanted believers to come to town. So we moved there, and we started running fellowship in his office after hours. Well, he never showed up. Anyway, it was just kind of weird. So, I was like, okay. But I'll tell you what, we stayed at his house the first night we were there, and he had the most comfortable beds. He's a chiropractor, right? And it was like, oh, I could have lived there forever. But anyway, so we start running fellowships, and this little restaurant, it was a really small town. So this little restaurant just opened. I swear God opened this little restaurant so we would have jobs. So we got jobs at this restaurant, and we were all working there. And then somehow, Joni and I were sharing an apartment. This guy Eric lived with this other guy who we ended up having fellowship at his house. Anyway, Joni and I were somehow we ran out of money. I mean, we had 2 weeks left and we just had no money. So it's like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? So we pray, and then we decide what we're going to do, right? So we pray, and then we decide, well, we'll just ask our boss tomorrow if she can give us an advance. We only got 2 weeks left. So we go to work the next day, and she says, "You know what? I'm laying you guys off." Like, oh! It was just incredible. So we're like, okay. It's nice knowing you. So we go, okay, God, what are you going to do? And then the guy that Eric was staying with, that we were running fellowship at his house, we had met this other couple. He was a teacher. We had met this other couple. They were school teachers. They were taking the next 2 weeks off They were taking a vacation. They wanted Joni and I to go stay at their house. We could drive their cars. They had a garden full of vegetables. They had a refrigerator full of food. The cars had were full of gas. We had only just met them one time. And that's where we stayed for the last 2 weeks, you know? I mean, above and beyond. We didn't even have to work. We were just hanging out, sharing God's word and being happy. So, you know, sometimes the answer God gives you isn't the one you thought you were going to get. Anyway, so we know in Romans chapter 8, it talks about being more than conquerors, right? So look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. It says, "For whatsoever or whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" And I think I put the NLT version on yours too, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Does somebody want to read that?
I will.
Okay.
"For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God."
Right. So it's that the way that's stated is not a question. So there's no question that whosoever, that's us, we're whosoever's. You know, whosoever believes, that's me and you. We're whosoever's. And we overcome the world, even though we live in it, but we overcome it. Even though we're in crappy situations, we overcome it because we have peace. We know that God's going to take care of us. We don't have to freak out, even though sometimes we do, or sometimes we complain, or sometimes we go, "Oh, God, why'd you do this to me?" Yeah, right. It wasn't that dumb decision you made yesterday, right?
Right.
It's all God's fault. Yeah. Anyway, so the reason we can overcome is because of who we are. So, we are more than conquerors. We are victorious because of who we are. And we are alive unto God to walk with him and to have fellowship with him and to be blessed. Romans chapter 5, verse 17 and 21 in the King James says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace," that's us, abundance of grace, not just a pinch, you know, we have an abundance of grace, "and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." Who wants to reign in life by Jesus Christ? Woo! Verse 21, "that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so my grace reigned through righteousness unto eternal life by Christ Jesus our Lord." Wow, that's beautiful. Now, do you have the NLT one of that one?
Yes.
No.
No?
No, we don't. No,
okay.
We don't.
Well, let me look it up, because I put a note in here to read that, so just give me a moment.
The New Living Translation is written at about sixth grade level. That's why it makes so much more sense to us.
Is that why I...
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Now, was that doctrine, reproof, or correction?
No, that's for all of them.
Yeah. Okay. What was I looking up?
Romans.
Oh, thank you.
17 and 21.
All righty.
NLT.
Yeah, I'm getting there. It's the numbers. I can read the words. Is this the numbers are so small? I can't find them. Sure.
I have.
Okay. Great.
"For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ."
Amen.
And then verse 21 says, "So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord."
Amen.
Wow. That's beautiful. So we have this triumph in life through that wonderful grace that God has given us. And it's grace, right? None of us deserve it or work for it. Kind of like that house I had for 2 weeks. You know? These people I met at a party one time. And they just like, here's the keys to my house and my cars. And we did have to feed their horses, but you know.
Oh, geez, after you rode them.
Yeah. So grace. How lovely is that? Grace. How lovely is grace? So grace is that beautiful word that we live in. It's also the age that we live in. Live in the age of grace. That's so lovely. So grace is the power that we have to overcome. It's through grace that we can overcome. That's the power that we have. And we reign in life through grace. So when you reign in life, so you're the king. You know, you reign in life. Everything kind of goes your way when you're king, right? So when things are all going your way, what happens? You kind of become thankful, right? And you're blessed, right? Well, that's the life we live. Today, we reign in life. So we can be victorious through that grace, and we can be thankful and blessed. That's the life God gave us. So, you know, why should I see myself the way God sees me? Because I am God's son. And what happens when I do that? I'm blessed. I live the more abundant life that God promised me. How do you like that? So is thankfulness a good thing?
Amen.
Yes. Abundance, is that a good thing?
Yes.
Well, that's what we've got. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 in the NLT. It says, so all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. So we've had that veil removed because we are God's sons. We're not in the Old Testament where they couldn't quite catch what was going on. They kind of blamed everything on God. And, you know, they didn't realize the confrontation we have between good and evil. We know that we have power over the devil. He doesn't have power over us. Jesus Christ conquered death. And we're going to live forever. If Christ comes back today, today would be the day that never ends. Isn't that amazing? And even if he doesn't, we reign in life today. We can't lose. Unless you lose your mind. So so you got to, you know, you can't claim that victory, claim that peace, be thankful. Yeah, that's how we do it. Okay. Did I read that whole verse? No, I think I stopped in the middle.
Yeah.
Okay. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. How beautiful is that? Not the worm, but the butterfly. That's us. And in chapter 4, verse 16, it says that... that is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are renewed every day. So we're all aging, all of us, even those little kids over there. You know, we're all aging, but we don't have to give up. We don't have to feel old. You know, you can look in the mirror and say, oh, gray hair, oh, wrinkles. What? That's not me. Well, you know, we are the glory of the Lord. Do you look in the mirror and see your gray hair and wrinkles and say that's the glory of the Lord?
Yes, I do that.
Yeah, you should. You should. That's what we got to do. That's what we've got to do because that is the renewed mind. You got to see yourself as the butterfly and not the worm. So remember Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Christ gives us that energy, that Christ within. We doesn't matter how old we are. We can be young in spirit because we're renewed every day.
That's right.
Every day. John chapter 12, verse 46 in the King James, it says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. We are the lights of the world now. Christ came as the light of the world. Now we are the light of the world. And if you look at verse 44 through 46, Jesus Christ cried and said this. So what was happening in chapter 10 of John is Jesus was teaching, and the rulers got mad and decided they're going to stone him. Well, you know, he just kind of like doesn't get stoned, obviously. But they wanted to kill him. And then in chapter 11, he raised Lazarus from the dead. So by chapter 12, he's teaching the word, and everybody comes because they want to see Lazarus. They want to hear what Jesus has to say, maybe. But they want to see this guy who was dead that got raised from the dead. And then, of course, the religious leaders hate that. So they're saying, well, let's kill him too. You know, let's kill Jesus and Lazarus now, right? And that, but some of the religious rulers believed, but they didn't want to commit to it because of fear of they're going to get excommunicated. And in those times, it wasn't just like, oh, you could go to another church. That was your whole body of everyone. You couldn't buy or sell, or, you know, your life was totally changed. And then they had Palm Sunday, and all that stuff was happening. So then in chapter 12, verse 44, it says, and Jesus cried and said, and it doesn't say there was a whole crowd. It's like, when I read this, I was thinking of, so say for instance, you knew today was the day Christ was coming back, or tomorrow. Christ is coming back tomorrow. So, you know, we have a fellowship, and Jim, I'll pick on you. He gives this prophecy that Christ is coming back tomorrow, and we all just know it's true for some reason.
You mean they listen to me?
Yeah. So what would you do? Would you just, you'd probably call all your relatives to make sure they were saved. You'd probably be knocking on your neighbor's doors. You know? But wouldn't you just really want everyone to know? So here's Jesus, and this is right before the Last Supper, before he knows he's going to be crucified. So it just says he cries. He just yells. Jesus yells right here, and he says, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. This is his last chance to get everybody around to listen. He's been teaching for a year. And now it's like, you guys got to listen now. This is it. You know? And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. Now that's Jesus saying that, but guess what? You are the light of the world right now. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and stand on the corner and scream, hey, everybody, look at me. I'm the light of the world. No. You know, but maybe you need to do that. I don't know. But Jesus did it. It was his last chance to get it out there before the end came in his life. And of course, you know, his life lives on through us. It wasn't the end. But we are the light of the world. It's our job now to speak God's word. He's not here. It's our job. So if you look at who you are in Christ, who God made you to be, then what you are to do is to see yourself the way God made you to be and speak that word. Be the one to love that unlovable person. Be the one to pray for them. Be the one to care and maybe see them get delivered. Teach them about prayer so they can pray and get their prayers answered. That's our life, just like Christ did. So let's read this one last verse, Philippians 2, verse 13 through 16a. For it is God which worketh in you and me, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. There's that complaining and whining. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse world. That's where we live. But we're not sucked into it, right? It says, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. So my prayer for you this week and for myself also, is to speak God's word with love and boldness. Not to, you know, if God tells me to talk, God might tell me to talk to somebody, I go, oh, I don't know if I want to talk to them. Is that really God talking to me? You kind of mumble along. But it's our job to bring the truth to people, to bring that light, to walk in love so much that people want to know what's going on in our life. Why are you not affected by the things that happen? And so we're able to walk in fellowship with God and to bring those people into the family. And Sherry, I'm asking Sherry if she would read a poem that she wrote. Okay. Do you want to come up here? You're going to sit there.
You can record it from up front.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess come up front. Thanks for asking.
You're welcome.
And of course, you know, God already covered this not only in the teaching but in the manifestations, saying that there wasn't anything too hard for him, which is always a good reminder. This is something I wrote back in 2010, but it's still true today. It's called What Dream is Impossible? And it goes, my father gives me lots of gifts. He does it every day. He speaks to me with words of love in big and little ways. Sometimes it is plain as can be on a cloudy, rain-soaked day when a multicolored promise says all there is to say. Sometimes he greets me early as I hurry to and fro with a morning sunbeam on my cheek as on my way I go. At other times, he speaks his love quite spectacularly, painting the sky from a palette of colors he's chosen just for me. My father tells me of his love in big ways and in small, but the words that sound the sweetest, those that speak loudest of all, are written in his matchless word, promises great and true, telling of his great abundance available for me and you. For what dream is impossible? With El Shaddai, no dream at all. When as his child, I simply believe and answer my father's call.
Wow.